It is also known that in naming people or places, the Jews like to use names with certain meaning. All the names used by Jews while naming persons or places declare characteristics of some prophecy or some event or even behavior. For example, Jacob means supplanter, as Esau cried out, "It is not he rightly named Jacob, for he hath supplanted me these two times." When Esau was being born, the first one of Isaac, Jacob's hand took a hold of the heel of the firstborn Esau. They were twins, but Jacob was a couple minutes younger, and he was born second. And at some time later, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a plate of lentils. And later on, he was tricked, and Isaac's blessing went to Jacob. So Esau exclaimed, "He is rightly called Jacob, one who supplants, one who tricks, who throws someone down." So Jacob took the birthright from Esau, who literally means thick-haired. Esau was very hairy, like an animal, and since he ate the plate of lentils, which was reddish in that area, the plate of reddish lentils given to him by Jacob in exchange for the birthright, Esau now was named Edom, and his descendants, Edomites. And Edom, E-D-O-M, means red because the lentils of that area, once again, were of a reddish color. These are some examples showing that the Jews love to give meaningful names to people or places from a certain behavior or an event or a prophecy. If this is the case, then the 12 children of Jacob did not receive their names nonchalantly or casually. The four mothers, the official mothers, and the two were concubines who gave the 12 children to Jacob, the 12 sons, because the daughters are not included in this numbering. These children received names with meaning, and these names were given from their own mothers from different happenings. So, my friends, by having and analyzing the names of these 12 patriarchs, we can begin to see elements of the new Israel. Saint Andrew of Caesarea offers us such a tremendous and amazing analysis. So we can draw a number of conclusions by the analysis of these names, which will be none else than the spiritual characteristics of the faithful of all ages, but especially of those at the end of times during the reign of the Antichrist. And we begin with Judah first. Judah means confession, and confession in Hebrew means praise and doxology. Doxologia. Truly, those who are saved by faith glorify and hymn the offshoot of Judah, Jesus Christ. So Judah comes first. And for Christians, faith and doxology of Jesus Christ comes first. This is the foundation. Second, we have Reuben. His mother had said, "God saw my lowliness, God saw." So Reuben means vision. And as St. Andrew explains, these are the ones who will develop spiritual vision by purifying their heart. And in reality, to have spiritual eyes to see spiritually, this presupposes a pure heart. Blessed are the pure at heart, because they will see God. And when Christ talks about the pure at heart, having the ability to see God, this does not refer to the kingdom of God sometime in the future. Please pay attention, because all church fathers agree on this point. This does not refer to the kingdom of God. but it refers to this life, to this world. Consequently, the vision of God from this world is available to those who have and maintain a pure heart. And in this matter, equivalency exists. The more the heart becomes purified, the more the vision of God is attained, and vice versa. When someone has a pure heart, as much as to have some empirical knowledge of the presence of God, this is a spiritual vision. If, my friends, we have this knowledge of God inside of us, the knowledge of how God in our fears, in history, in our personal and universal history, when we see how God works, when we have the inward empirical information, empirical feeling of the presence of God, how comes I can see it and the person next to me cannot understand a thing? This means that there's a vision and a development of a certain spiritual vision is at hand. This is the beginning of godly vision. The first vision, and this can be developed to the point where someone can be seen the uncreated energy of divine glory, the light of transfiguration. So quite obviously, we have a very long way to go, a very long ladder to ascend. And this gradual ascent of the theoria, or the vision of God, depends on the purity of the heart. Gad means happiness. I am happy, the mother of Gad said during his birth. It is the number of those Christians who will have the inner information that they belong to the remnant that will be saved. They are, and they ought to be, very happy. But my friends, if at this moment we had a certain assurance that we can be saved, and each one has this potential to possess this assurance, that he's a member of the remnant that will be saved, couldn't this make us very, very happy? To feel happy despite all the difficulties and tribulations that we may have. Asher means blessed, and blessed will be those who will receive the blessed beatitude of the Master, that will stand at the right hand of Christ. Come, the blessed ones of my Father. Nephthalim, I struggled and I won, where God has hearkened to my plea, which refers to prayer. As St. Andrew of Caesarea explains, those who glue themselves to God through incessant prayer, those who attach themselves to God with the incessant prayer. Prayer, my friends, is not for morning and night, even though I would be very happy if you would tell me that you do your prayers both morning and night. Most of you only pray at night. I would be very happy, very elated, to find that you pray both in the morning and at night. But the subject here is the incessant prayer. And one form of this prayer is, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Of course, this may not always be the form, but the name of Christ is always central to this prayer. And if a soul prays constantly, everywhere, every place, and every hour, then he has the incessant prayer. He becomes Nephthalim, a man or a woman of prayer. The Lord has hearkened to my plea. Number 6, Manasseh. Forgetfulness. When Joseph had his firstborn son in Egypt, up to this point he was very troubled and still hurting, having been sold by his brothers to the Egyptians. Even though he received a great title of second to the Pharaoh, second to the king of Egypt, he was second in command. He was married, and when he glanced at his first son, he named him Manasseh. Forgetfulness. In other words, God has given me a child to help me forget the bitterness of this foreign land, to have my own family, and to forget the bitterness of being a foreigner to this land. St. Andrew now says, what does this mean? From a Christian point of view, those who forget their house, they don't look back in order to gain and find divine eros. But when? When the house becomes a stumbling block and goes against the way of godliness. He who loves father, mother, son, daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Those who ignore their home, they forget their home for the sake of divine love, divine eros, the love and dedication to God. The one who leaves behind his biological relatives and dedicates himself to the work of God. This is the case of the 144,000 who follow the Lamb everywhere he goes. Seventh, Simeon. Simeon means I am hated. The mother of Simeon was hated. That's why she said, I am hated at the birth of this son. There were two sisters and two concubines and much competition and much jealousy between them. But we will not expand on this subject here. Simeon, I'm hated. This is characteristic that the faithful belongs to the remnant, the small number of people who will maintain faith in God, and they will be hated by this world. If the world hates you, the Lord said, remember that it hated me first. So the elect will be hated by the world. Please pay attention and record these characteristics well, so we don't feel the arrows and the fire of the low self-esteem when those around us ignore us because we didn't become Masons or members of the Lions or Rotary Clubs, whatever else, because we go to church. They will call us hypocrites, fanatics. They will call us many things, fundamentalists. They will hate us. We will not enter their living rooms. We will stay far from them and outside of their circles. Therefore, we will be hated. Those who know how to behave, those who know and understand to what people they belong, they are ready to be hated. Levi, number 8. Levi means accepted, one having been accepted. According to St. Andrew, those who are received by Christ because of their pious lifestyle. Number 9, Issachar. Issachar means wages. His mother said, God has paid my wages, my reward. And this according to the old story in Genesis. But from a Christian point of view, the faithful feels his reward. Christ promised a reward to all the faithful. Behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me. My wages are with me. Wages to repay everyone according to their accomplishment, according to their works. Revelation 22:12. Zabulon, a precious gift of God, similar to our name Theodoros, Theodore. The gifts of the Holy Spirit received by the faithful. The faithful is adorned with gifts of the Holy Spirit. Faithful and lacking in gifts, in divine gifts, is inconceivable. And the first and foremost of all gifts is love. St. Paul says, I will tell you what are the highest gifts to aim for. The greatest of gifts is love. And there he weaves the great hymn of love in Corinthians. But what love? Genuine love. To have genuine love is a gift of the Holy Spirit, my friends. Joseph means addition. When he was born, Rachel couldn't have any children. And when Joseph was born, she prayed. She said, may the Lord add to me another son. So Joseph means addition, something that's added. And this is how his mother named Joseph. But Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. Amen needs a lot of faith to understand this, especially in the end of times, when you will see that the Antichrist will be applying intense financial squeeze, financial pressure on all Christians. Would we be able to say, let's seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto us by Christ? Because Christ promised this to us. He said it himself. And all these things will be added unto us. All these things will be added unto you. As I told you, all these names correspond to Christian characteristics of the faithful. Benjamin, son of Pain. When Rachel gave birth to Joseph, she was the second wife of Jacob. She only bore two children. The first was Joseph, and the second was Benjamin. And she died during the second childbirth. Before she died, the child was born, and she named him, and after that, she died. And she named this child Son of Pain. And after that, Rachel died. Let's take a look at the image of those sealed again at the visual of Ezekiel. We saw this at the last lesson in the 8th and 9th chapters of Ezekiel. The Lord called to them, the men clothed in linen, go through the city, through Jerusalem, and seal all those who sigh and groan, those who are in pain, because of all the abominations that are committed in it, for all the evil, lawlessness, and sin that takes place inside the city of Jerusalem. The faithful will have pain. Their soul will feel pain by seeing the increase of evil. The evil will be flooding the streets and they will feel helpless. They will not be able to change anything, but they will feel pain and agony. And we see this today. How many of our people, young and old, are perishing? How many victims to the nets of immorality, faithlessness, pornography, atheism, prodigality, substance abuse, alcohol abuse? How many of our young people are perishing? You take a ride through the city, through our cities, and you see the young people, how they carry on, laugh, how they live, and you sigh about these immortal souls that Christ died for. These souls are perishing because of ignorance. And you feel the pain. What Christian soul wouldn't feel any pain by taking a look at our today's public school system, our public schools? What happened to our public schools? Whatever goes on in these schools, if they're schools, you see people in general, how they think, how they live, and you groan. It is the pain that develops from the evil that grows and spreads like wildfire, and the name Benjamin is expressive of this pain of the Christians. Only the faithful people feel this pain. The rest, they don't feel a thing. They are anesthetized. They see nothing wrong with society. They feel things are great. They agree with the system. Things are going well. Their world has never been better. Down with boundaries. That's exactly how we want things to be. Doesn't get better than this, as the commercial says. But the faithful are in agony. They suffer. But besides this, we also have those who have a wounded heart. A wounded heart for the love of Christ. And they wait, as the book of the Revelation finishes, Lord, how long? How long must we wait? Lord, when will you come? I'm coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. The Holy Spirit that stays in the world comforts and consoles the faithful, the Spirit and the bride. Who is the bride? The bride is the church, and the Holy Spirit being in the church, and the church says, come, come. Yes, I'm coming soon. My friends, all these characteristics of the faithful will set apart the sealed remnant of the church from the world, which world will be condemned. All these characteristics and virtues serve to identify the spiritual human being, and for us to succeed in becoming spiritual people, we must learn to work with much diligence and fear of God.
Veste pandastasi, gnote tum Christum mysterium in vinami. Christos galos sotivimon, o enarchi logos, et stavrosi vimas, και ανέστη εκ νεκρών του σώσε τα συμπάντα αυτών προσκυνήσομαι.
And the question is about the body and blood of Christ. And the answer is quite simple, you know, for the Orthodox. Because Christ is everywhere. Now, is his human nature everywhere? Yes. Yes. Why? Because of the hypostatic union of the two natures, because of the union of the human to the divine, now the human nature is also everywhere. They are unconfusedly and inseparably united. Okay. Unconfusedly and inseparably united. And there is the communicatio idiomatum. Okay. There is the communication between the two natures. The human nature all by itself is not everywhere. However, because of the hypostatic union of the two natures, now, God, Christ, the human being, knows everything. Remember the question that we had a couple of years ago and that bothered us a little bit with one of the theologians? Okay. That the human nature, Christ is a human being, did not have all the psychological knowledge that we have today. Mm-hmm. That's false. That is a terrible teaching. Christ knows it all. Why? Because of the hypostatic union of the two natures. When he says to the disciples that only the Father knows, the Son doesn't know, he's speaking of the man, because at that time, the disciples were only considering him as a human being, as a man. And he did not want to reveal things to them because they were not ready. And they wouldn't understand because the Holy Spirit was not here yet. And many times Christ told them, that's enough for now. I told you enough. You cannot digest it. I will stop. They couldn't understand many things because their eyes were not opened. So Christ, as a matter of fact, when we take one little speck of Holy Communion, we receive the entire Christ, the infinite Christ. So Christ is everywhere, the same Christ. And that's why when we take Holy Communion here, we are united to the Church of Korea and India. We're all one body. That's how we're one body. We become one, and this is immense to be a Christian. When I take Holy Communion in Bethlehem, I'm with you. When you take Holy Communion here in Baltimore, we're all one. We are all united in the body of Christ, the church. And not only that, your husband was with us, who's in heaven. Your husband is with us. The whole church, the militant church, and the triumphant church, we all unite in the body of Christ. You see?
My husband comes to visit me.
Do you do prospero for him and
yes.
Give his name,
yes,
you know,
I
for
do.
The proscomedy? These are all very,
yes,
very important things.
What
okay.
does prospero do?
What it does, it does a wonderful thing. When the priest, when the priest cuts out small sections,
yeah, we have that here,
okay,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And puts it in the chalice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he cuts out, of course, the host, mm-hmm. the body of Christ. And then he cuts out for the Virgin Mary and
mm-hmm.
for the saints. And then he cuts out for all the deceased people. And then there's a small section that would represent your husband's
mm-hmm.
body
yeah.
and soul, okay, his soul. And that small section falls in the blood of Christ and it becomes washed. It is the best thing that we can do for our loved ones that
mm-hmm.
passed away. The best thing.
And how often should you do this?
Very often, a few times a year.
And you
yeah.
call the priest and
yes,
say, I'm making prayers
on the day that he passed away, also on his name day, a few times a year. Yes.
I made prosper for D when D passed
yes.
away.
Was a just very quickly on this in Crete a couple of years ago. It was a couple. The wife was not a believer. She was marginal, you know. The husband was very, very strong, and you know, many times she wouldn't let him go to church on Sunday. So what he would do is he would get up very early in the morning, get a prosper and take it to the church. They had a little girl. And one certain Sunday, the little girl was saying, I want to see my yaya. I've never met my yaya. I've never seen her, you know. And then one morning, one Sunday morning, we were ready to go on a trip. And he didn't have the guts to tell his wife, you know, I'm going to take a prosper to the church. Because she was going to just belittle him and, you know, you're ridiculous. And why are you going to church? And what he did, he got up very early, made an excuse. And he told the wife that I'm going to go change the oil, check the car out, make sure everything's good, and then, you know, you sleep a little bit later. And so he takes the prosper, takes it to the priest. Well, that Sunday night, the yaya appeared to the little girl. She saw her like she was alive. And the little girl gets up and says, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, I had a dream. I had a dream. And they start laughing. What'd you dream? I saw Yaya and Daddy. She said she wants to thank you very much for what you did yesterday morning at 6 o'clock. And of course, and we have many, many, many examples like that. When a little boy who died or a little girl or something will appear to the parents or will appear to someone and say, why didn't you bring me any milk today? And of course, we don't do these practices anymore, and that's why we don't have these holy visions. But you had a question.
I was going to say, have you noticed that a lot of the Protestants, when they don't have or don't understand the mysteria that is associated with the human and spiritual nature and the divine, they always try to come up with this logical
yes.
number thing. They take this tangible, this earthly tangible,
yes.
and say to us, well, how can this be if, you know,
yes.
You know, look at this tangible. You don't see this tangible here. But, you know, that I just kind of look at them
and you
say,
cannot
well,
see the tangible. In the Spirit of God. What
yeah.
you see here, what is tangible are their words. And they do not have the Spirit of God. Most of them are simply educated.
Mm-hmm.
But then, most of the educated people during the years of Christ, they miss Christ. The Pharisees, the scribes, they miss Christ altogether. The fishermen, the ones who did not depend on their reason to explain God. What is heresy? Heresy is the wish of the human reason to explain everything. I don't understand it, so I don't accept it. This is heresy. Also, heresy comes forth, springs forth from arrogance, which that's what it is. I have to understand it. But you don't even understand why you're here. You don't understand a thing about yourself. You don't understand about the soul. You don't, so many things that you don't understand. But you want to understand God? Okay. When that happens, the walls of Jericho, they are higher than the China Wall. You can know all the verses by heart. And you can be Billy Graham,